The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints from the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I was not sure that I would be able to get through the first class, but every time the lump in my throat began to come up and choke me, I remembered the purpose for which he died and the great purpose for which he lived his life, which was, of course, I'm talking about my dog if you weren't here for the first service. And the great purpose for which he lived was to be a part of my ministry in many ways. He was always under my desk while I studied, and he seemed to approve of what I was doing. And he waited till just the right time to pass from this earth so that I could bring you these words of comfort that came essentially from his mouth. So we'll move on from that, and I made it. But you know, we as believers often think that we apply doctrine, we accept God's grace because we know it's there. We accept his timing, we accept his blessing. And then, of course, some adverse circumstance, whether it be a flood, some of us had no problem with the flood, but others did. But some adverse circumstance overtakes us in our lives, and the emotional oven gets overloaded, and we slip back into a self-centered mode. That's what happens when emotions take over. It's entirely self-centered. We react then to circumstances rather than respond to what is in our souls. And I know that those of you who are here have doctrine in your souls, but how easy it is to react to some circumstance. And then in thinking about that situation, we get bitter, we get angry, we curse everyone involved, maybe even Harvey. And then we pity ourselves. We forget grace and the resources that God has provided for each one of us. We don't put our problems in his hands. We lose confidence in what God can do. So we decide to take control so that we can worry and fear and dive into all sorts of mental attitude sins. Where does that get you? Fear, worry, mental attitude sins. No, there's no problem solution there. That just means Bible doctrine has some further renovation to do in your soul in order to become the predominant focal point in your soul, and letting the truth of God's word confront and control the circumstances. That's what you want. The truth of God's word controlling the circumstances rather than the circumstances controlling you. You are what you think, you know, Proverbs 23:7. If you're not thinking, what are you? If you're simply emoting, you're not thinking. When you lose the objectivity of Bible doctrine, the only thing left is emotionalism. And this is failure, because emotionalism is always self-centered. It's not humility, which we have been studying as demonstrated by the Lord Jesus Christ in the foot washing incident of John 13. Now, lest you overthink all of this, let me give you a little caveat. This caveat is not an excuse, but a reality check. Even though you may continue to renovate your thinking with the mind of Christ, and you are, or you wouldn't be here, to a lesser or greater extent you are, depending upon how much you concentrate and how consistent you are in the Word, you are renovating your soul and advancing to the high ground of spiritual maturity. But you will never be perfect. There is always something that's going to get to you. I don't know what it is. I know what got to me this last week. I've already told you. There will be a time that something or someone will get to you. So don't expect that no matter what the circumstances, that there will be a time when you will never lapse into some sort of human viewpoint or emotional reaction. It's going to happen. To think that it won't is unrealistic, and it's sometimes dangerous because it can bring discouragement in the midst of testing. And it can give you an unrealistic view of who you are and the plan of God. When you do that, you start to depend upon yourself rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a failure. Don't be discouraged. Press on. Drive on. Remember that message? You still have a sin nature. You still have an area of weakness. You can always get out of fellowship and get tripped up and fail. Maybe you have in the last few days. I don't know. Especially that can happen in your old area of weakness or in an emotional moment. I'm speaking of this because I've had my terrible emotional moment, and it's still ongoing, and I know how you can get on the edge with it. And everybody comes to that point. Just whatever the circumstance that gets to you. Remember, weaknesses and sin patterns have been cultivated, ingrained over a substantial period of your life. You started out with them and you've continued with them. And they don't go away overnight. There are certain residual effects. Consistent doctrinal intake and spiritual growth will overcome them so that you can operate effectively in the Christian life, but never entirely removes your sinful propensities. You better get that through your head. That's why you've got to learn to focus on doctrine through those weaknesses. You begin to evaluate and recognize those weaknesses. And doctrine will bring them to mind. God's Word has a way of doing that. And there is never a more propitious time for that to happen than when you are going through a set of miserable circumstances, whatever they may be. Flood, loss, whatever it is. The Apostle Paul called it that way. He does the things that he doesn't want to do. So do we all. But there's a solution to that, and he brought it to us time and time and time again. You know, you can get caught by surprise in a weak moment. You think you're on top of it all, but you can get caught by surprise, and you will react when your old subjective emotional pattern comes to the surface. Now, this is not an excuse for failure in the Christian life. You can never say, oh, that's just the way I am. That's the way it happens. You see, that's just capitulation to the sin nature. That's all that is. The way you were is not the way you must become in the Christian way of life. Don't ever mistake that. Also, failure doesn't mean defeat in the Christian way of life. It's easy to come to that point. You may have come to that point in the testing that you have undergone in the last few days. And it certainly doesn't mean if you fail that doctrine doesn't work. So again, don't get discouraged and give up if you don't immediately change your attitude and your actions, or if you fail to apply doctrine in a moment of adversity. See, growing to spiritual maturity doesn't mean that every moment you're going to say, I got the doctrine. The second it happens, that's not going to happen. But what maturity does mean is that it comes to mind more quickly, and it keeps you from going into an emotional tailspin. But even then, you may. But the point is, you recover more quickly. You retain your focus, and you regain your focus. Because there is no Christian life without your focus on Bible doctrine and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it's got to go. But if you get focused on the adversity, you become self-centered, you lack humility, and you're going to have a hard time recovering. Hence, your Christian life is at those moments being defeated. But it's only a temporary defeat. You see, failures are just as much tests as the original circumstances. They are. So if you went through adversity this past week, and most of us did in one form or another, if you went through that adversity and you didn't do very well, you fell apart, you got emotional, and you still are, then you failed the test. But the test itself is a test, and the failure in that test is a test. And the proper solution is to move past it by using the doctrine in your soul. That's why having this service this morning, even though many, many people have not been able to be here, is important to help you refocus on what's important in the Christian life. Sure, it's important that you have a roof over your head. Certainly, it's important that you have something to eat or something to drink that's not polluted. All those things are the necessities of life. But beyond that is the necessity of your spiritual life. And without the spiritual life, those things that you lack become bigger and bigger and bigger and take over your life. And you get out of control. That's not the Christian way of life. Just remember, tests are for our benefit. So failures must be turned to victories, so they are of benefit for us. You know, you don't realize what God's grace has truly provided for you until you pass a very difficult test, especially in an area of weakness or vulnerability in your life. And we all have them. And by the way, guilt for past failures is not part of the solution. And dwelling on the failure means more failure. That's not passing the test either. Let me tell you, I have thought many, many times in the last 5 days on that little dog. Really? Just as you probably have thought all this time on your losses, whatever they may be. But if you continue to grieve in a way that overwhelms you, then you are failing in the Christian life. There's something greater than your loss. It's what you gain. The solution to passing any test begins, of course, with rebound and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And you know when you need rebound. Some of us like to wallow in it. Some of us like to get emotional. And then it becomes emotionalism. No. Emotionalism becomes mental attitude sins, becomes self-centeredness, becomes all of arrogance, becomes all of those things that take you as far away from the Christian life as possible. So you begin with rebound and then application of whatever it is you have learned, whatever stage of the Christian life you're in. Coupled with an attitude of humility. And what does that mean? Well, simply put, in a disaster like this, the attitude of humility means, rather than self-pity and what am I going to do now? What is the Lord going to do in all of this? Look, things are gone. Houses can be gone. Possessions can be gone. It's just stuff. Houses can be rebuilt. Possessions can be bought. Insurance can cover this. It may be a little aggravation. But the point is, what is the Lord doing in all this? What is he doing? What is he saying? How is he directing me? Where is my life going? What do I need to think in all of this? If you're not doing that, then you need to re-examine where you are in the Christian life. That's the reason for the test. You must focus on the doctrine to calm your emotions so that you don't become or get into emotionalism. And then approach the situation from grace and doctrinal orientation. In other words, humility. You know, you won't realize the effectiveness of your spiritual life until you gain humility and pass the kinds of tests that we're going through now. You won't. You come to see, as will Peter and the other 11 disciples, that humility and focus on Bible doctrine shuts out focus on self and circumstances. And that's where the real danger lies. Not that you don't do something about your circumstances, not that you don't think about them, but they don't become paramount in your thinking. And spiritual maturity is accelerated through failure recovery. It is. When the attitude of humility and divine viewpoint are applied to the test or to the failure. Don't ever be discouraged by your failures, because we all have them pretty consistently sometimes. The point is, recover, 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 and move on. Don't dwell on the past. How easy it would be for me to think of nothing in the next few months of all the wonderful times I had with my little dog and all the things we did and all the things we did went through together. Oh, I'll always have great memories of him, but I've got to move on. Life goes on. The plan of God goes on. And that's true if you lose a loved one. That's true if you lose a house. That's true if whatever you lose or whatever pain and suffering you're under. And even if it's your own health. Humility, humility, and focus on doctrine shuts out focus on self and circumstances. And spiritual maturity is accelerated. Ultimately, though, you know, so many believers just capitulate to their emotions when they're tested. They just capitulate. In fact, they make emotionalism the center of their Christian life. The desire to experience supposed spiritual phenomena replaces renovation of soul. I want to feel it. I want to feel God's presence. I want to know he's doing something for me. I want to see it right now. I'm impatient. subjectivity and emotionalism then rule your soul and your life. Believers turn to such things as speaking in tongues for feel good and healing if their health is not good. And here's another one, getting new revelation from God in dreams and visions. That's going on a lot these days. Spurring each other to new subjective experiences. And so they reject learning Bible doctrine as too dry or too academic or too time consuming. They've got other things to do. What are they doing now? In this experiential mode, they feel that they are close to God. How do they feel when they're out of their homes? And that is their Christianity. Experience, feelings, emotion. But experience based on subjective feelings and emotions can betray. And they are probably doing that right now. When you feel bad and your life is based on emotions, where are you? You're not in a very good position. In fact, you're in a position of pure emotionalism and you're a long way from the Christian life. Emotionalism doesn't solve problems, it creates them. Emotion is normal. Emotionalism is sinful. If experience, you see, doesn't line up with biblical dispensational principles, the result is, and I want you to remember this because it's going on all over the place today, everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. Proverbs 21:2. Everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes. That's the definition of relativism. And Proverbs 12:15, get this. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. He only sees what he's doing. That's the definition of what happens when emotionalism takes over. Well, this is the right thing to do. But a wise man is he who listens to counsel. That is the objective counsel of the whole realm of Bible doctrine. Doctrine is objectivity. And to the extent to which you have doctrine in your soul is the extent to which you can be objective about your life. Subjectivity is relativism. And you can only see yourself, your problems, and sometimes no way out. A man who was my next door neighbor for 15 years committed suicide during this 3 days. No way out. The way of a fool describes a spiritual free-for-all, emotional criteria instead of a doctrinal criteria. The mode of the Christian life is made up as they move along. That is so dangerous. I know what the Christian life is. I feel it. I make it up as I go along. The way of a fool is to blindly follow the latest Christian fad. The way of a fool is anything that replaces doctrine with emotion, or as the foundation of the Christian life. We're all in danger of that in this time, during these kinds of situations. I have seen and heard on several interviews those who have the proper perspective about this, who recognize that the plan of God is still in operation, who realize this is an opportunity for believers in Jesus Christ, as testing always is. This is a opportunity to show the attitude of the Christian life in disaster. This is an opportunity to be a witness to those who are around you who have lost so much, who have nothing to hold on to, who have no hope and no confidence. But you do. You don't even have to say anything. You just have to show up. To lose your perspective on Bible doctrine is much worse than a circumstantial disaster. It's a long way from renovation of soul. It's a long way from thinking with the mind of Christ. But when you think with the mind of Christ, which is Bible doctrine, it shows. And never does it show more than right now. Than right now. Just remember that. Who are you? What do you think? What comes out of your soul? Are you right there with the rest of them pulling your hair out and saying, oh no, this is such a disaster. What will I do next? I am so proud of many of you because I have heard your circumstances and I've seen your attitude. It's beautiful. You get it. And those around you get it as well. Bible doctrine is in your soul, and it means something. It means everything. Christianity. People have so many ideas of Christianity. I was interested to see that a very large, church in this city was being under great duress, to say the least, and being castigated by the press because they failed to open their doors to refugees, to those who had lost so much. But you see, to the world, that's Christianity, doing good things. Now, there's nothing wrong with opening doors to help people, but that's not what Christianity is. Christianity is a relationship with God that is objective, not subjective. The objective criteria is the existing revelation in the canon of Scripture, which is Bible doctrine. That's what must rule any Christian emotional experience. But when it's missing, it's just an emotional experience. And what's the difference between your emotional experience and everyone else's emotional experience? Nothing. You show nothing, and you certainly are not using the Christian way of life. That's what must rule any Christian emotional experience. You see, emotion is the appreciator of doctrine and the grace of God. That's where true emotion lies. And it appreciates the great things that God has done for you. As an example, my attitude, rather than simply thinking about my loss of my little dog, should be, and is now, what a gracious God to have given me 16 years with that wonderful little pet. And it's the same for anything. How wonderful it is that I lost this or I lost that. Because it's recoverable. And you know it. But it's not the issue. The issue is, what is the grace of God going to do in all of this? And I can't wait to see. Because it will be the issue. And it will be cursing turned to blessing. That's a promise. I can't tell you what it's going to be. I don't necessarily know what it is for me, unless it's in the short term, which is what I've just described to you in the first service. But there's always a long-term aspect to testing and passing the test, to adversity and living through it, when you utilize Bible doctrine in your soul. In subjective emotionalism, there is no way to determine what is true or false in a so-called Christian experience. It becomes whatever the Christian thinks is right. And Proverbs says that is a fool being fooled. So it's a truism. The more mature you become, thinking objectively with Bible doctrine, the quicker you recognize subjective falsehood and emotionalism, especially in yourself. Because that's what leads you in the wrong direction. And the quicker you recover from failure and carnality, you are then able to see and squelch the old trend taking charge of your life, moving you back into the way of human viewpoint and panic and fear. Recognizing that pattern, you quickly rebound. You get yourself back under the control of the filling of the Holy Spirit, who empowers the Christian life and the objective criteria of metabolized Bible doctrine. Then you can make wise and insightful use of that doctrine. Utilize the faith rest drill with a quick application of a doctrinal rationale. Doctrinal rationales are infinitely greater than subjective human reactions and emotionalism. They are based on an infinitely more solid ground, God's immutable promises. That's what you should be today. What a great moment in the Christian life when you pass a test utilizing doctrine with an attitude of humility. Has that just happened to you? You realize what a problem-solving device can do in the hands of a believer who is making application, who is maturing. Unforgettable vistas have just opened up for you. You have advanced. That's the Christian life running like a finely tuned engine. And I'm not talking about being robotic and mechanical. That's not the Christian life either. You can have great emotions. The mature Christian life is a rich and full life of peace and joy and capacity to love. I realized I have a capacity to love because of what I saw and how I thought of that little dog. That's what that sort of testing can do. It develops and utilizes all the fruits of the Spirit, as Galatians 5:22 names them. There is a place for emotion and the experience of Christianity. But emotion, and I stress this again, must not take control. And experience in your life should line up with the mind of Christ and not your overactive human imagination. The things you can make up in your mind, which are not evident. The only thing that's truly evident in the circumstances of life is what doctrine says. Otherwise, you just don't know. And if you don't know and that's all you can think about is to make up scenarios, that is a failure in the spiritual life. You need to think doctrine today, tomorrow, every day. Whatever your failures might be, they are not failures when you return to the Christian life. When you learn from the testing. When you advance through the suffering. And when you recognize what God is doing in your life at some point in the future. It is dazzling, truly. Heavenly Father, we appreciate all that you have done for us, whether we realize it or not. But we must remember that you always have our best interest in mind and that wherever we are and whatever circumstance we are in, we have you, we have your word, we know your grace is there for us, and that you love us no matter what. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now, for all time, and forever. Amen.